Hello, everyone.
Is there music playing? Do I hear music?
What? No, I was
there
just
we go.
The... Oh.
Oh.
I was typing hello.
I thought that was the hi, everyone thing.
Sorry, oh I tricked you.
Wow. Yeah.
But it turns out it's time, so it's anyway. Just a test. You passed.
Oh, my goodness. It is the Friday of edition. It's the Friday edition of a little thing we like to call Make Me Smart. Economics on Tap is what we do here. Tap for me. Mexicoke bottle for Molly, I think. I don't know. She'll tell you. Live stream's up and running, so if you're watching on YouTube, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hello.
Yeah, so that's where we are.
That was me waving at the live stream. Yeah, showtime.
Good for you.
Yes, welcome. It is, as you started talking, couldn't make the words come out, I was going to be like, yeah, it's bleep, bloop, blurk, blark, Friday.
Right,
exactly. Woo. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, we sort of expected things to get faster and also furiouser as the months lead toward the election, but wow, they certainly are.
Well,
I'm having a Batanga.
What's interesting?
I read.
You are?
Yeah,
so remind everybody what's in a Batanga. Sorry.
The Batanga, I read on Twitter sometime today, just went by, that it was National Tequila Day. So the Batanga, may I remind you, is my favorite Mexicoke with tequila, lime, and some salt. And you're supposed to stir it with your salsa knife, but all I cut with my knife was lime, but still. Cheers to you, friends. Thanks for joining us and hanging in there. You're doing great. We are all doing great.
Oh, my goodness. We are.
We're doing great.
We are. I'm back with the OG Stone IPA because that's what was in the fridge, but I've got better stuff put away for later because, you know, it's 3:30 in the afternoon in Los Angeles. So what I was going to say was substantively and on your thought about everything getting crazier as the election approaches, it's really interesting. And maybe this is just my mood. Things are getting crazier as my ability to deal with crazy stuff diminishes because we've been quarantined and all of that. And I don't think that's a healthy combination for anything. Not just me, but everybody, right?
So, yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It is definitely a time to, and I gave myself and others this lecture this week, which was just like, try. I'm not succeeding every day, but try to dig deep for a little bit of extra empathy pants because, like, nobody's okay.
It's so hard.
Nobody's
and
doing okay.
My fuse is so short, right? My fuse is just so short. Yeah.
Yep. I know. So like I said, you're doing great, however you're doing, whoever you are. Like, we are literally all doing the best we can because nobody wants to, whatever you think or believe or whatever, you know, side of the partisan divide you are on, nobody is not upset. And nobody wants to be, other than a very few number of people who seem to all be on the internet, nobody wants to be in conflict. That is not like our natural state, you know?
Yeah,
most people want the same things, and those things actually do involve peace and order and a level of harmony and getting along with people.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to remember that with every interaction. Because
totally. Yeah. Totally. Okay, let us get to the news, shall we?
Let's do it. Yep.
All right, you go first.
I mean, you know, it's funny because I put these links in here, but the only thing I think should be a story is the kind of ongoing invasion of cities by what appeared to be like extra legal paramilitary forces that may or may not be made up of mercenaries. And it's like the only thing that I'm going to do my other stories, but I just need to say, I think that is the only thing we need to be talking about at the end of the day, because it's not, that is nothing about it is okay. As you have been saying since last Friday, like nothing about this is normal or okay. And sending in federal troops into cities that are run by your political rivals that you consistently describe as such is scary, especially when it's happening months before an election. It's just like, more on that, please. on the plus side, if business is the only thing in America that gets anything done, McDonald's passed, McDonald's and Chipotle, which is owned by McDonald's, announced that they will require customers to wear masks or other face coverings starting August 1st, and that they'll delay their dining room openings. But I think that much like it was a huge deal when Walmart announced this, it's a huge deal. Like, it's just huge deal go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry. That was the lag.
Well, yeah, I mean, these are two companies. Curse the lag. Curse the internet.
I know, right?
The internet wants us to fight, and interrupt each other. Anyway, much like when Walmart and McDonald's had like massive impacts on the food industry, right? When Walmart went organic, they overnight became like the largest organic supplier. When McDonald's took, what was it, like beef fat out of the fries and actually made them vegetarian. Like every move that these companies make ripples through the entire global economy. So for them to get consistent messaging around masking, which is ultimately what it will take, it's socialization. I think that's a big deal.
And I think it goes back to the thing you and I said early on in this administration, and I'm talking like February, March, April, right when we started up. Remember, we started up right around Inauguration Day, and early on we had conversations about businesses being a check on the Trump administration because Senate Republicans certainly weren't going to do it. And I think that a little bit is what's going on here, right? Businesses are being the public health check on an administration that is demonstrably not taking public health seriously. Right. You know, and I just, it's a little bit of loop closing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, generously speaking, it's been all over the place, and consistency and constant messaging in one direction is what it's going to take. And unfortunately, that's probably going to take a little too long, but this is a big start. Also, the YouTube live stream chat has corrected me.
Yes.
McDonald's doesn't own Chipotle anymore. They sold them a few years ago. Now they're like Chipotle's its own publicly owned, publicly traded company.
Thing.
Right, so there we
go. Wisdom
Thanks,
of crowds,
YouTube.
Baby. Wisdom of crowds.
Love it.
Perfect.
Love it.
Do you want to do the other one, or are you just going to?
That's all I got. I got it. Okay. That's assumed. Right. That's like an add-on for yours in case we get there.
Well, it's kind of related to mine, right? Mine is actually a tweet by a guy by the name of Jacob Liebenloft, and he's a fellow at NYU Law School. He was in the Obama White House on the Council of Economic Advisors. Doing a bunch of stuff. And he was in a Twitter exchange today, which I happen to see go by. And I think he makes a really interesting point, which is, and just contextually, we all realize here that all the extra unemployment benefits are going away. The last checks go out in 49 states tomorrow. In the state of New York, they go out on Sunday. Federal eviction moratoriums are being lifted. I mean, a lot of this aid and assistance is going away. And so we've got a homelessness crisis pending. We've got a cash flow joblessness crisis pending. We've got all of these things happening. As Senate Republicans, as we've talked about, have known for months that this was coming and decided not to act. And here's what Liebenloft said. I also wonder if the repeated use of cliffs as negotiating leverage has really warped the sense of what can be done last minute without consequences. Unlike here, which is to say getting this emergency assistance out, unlike here, you can strike a midnight deal on government funding without creating a massive set of disruptions and technical problems, which is completely true. And Republicans are compounding it now by all this talk of, well, we're going to replace it. We're going to replace the $600 a week of extra unemployment benefits at, say, 70% of wages. So what that means is that each state unemployment office, which states are the ones who administer unemployment, are going to have to go through and figure out what 70% of each applicant's wages are. And you know, there be dragons, right? That's bananas.
Yeah.
And here we are at the deadline, and Senate Republicans are like, you know, we'll see. And I just, I think that's a really good insight. We have gotten so accustomed to Congress not doing anything until literally the last minute that now we're in a crisis that doesn't cotton to that. And it's gonna disrupt millions of people's lives and this entire economy.
Right. And they literally don't know how else to do it. Or it's just become de rigueur or, I mean, and then Roman Senate part of our entire Congress, which is like, how disconnected are you guys from reality? Because this is literally livelihoods.
Although,
I
cannot believe, truly, because, okay, look, I'm going to say something and people are going to have at me, but whatever. You cannot, okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to go all the way out there.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell a very quick story. I was doing an event at WABE in Atlanta in the George W. Bush days. And George W. Bush had a reputation for not being the brightest bulb in the candelabra, if you will, the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I maintained in a conversation I was having with a reasonably wealthy public radio donor who was opposed to George W. Bush, I said, look, you cannot be an idiot and be elected president of the United States. And all current evidence notwithstanding, I still believe that. And I'll go the next step, which is you cannot be an idiot and be elected to the Senate of the United States. And I say that because they know. They know. You can't not know. And so why?
Yeah.
And I don't have the answer to that. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
I read a piece the other day. I'm just going to annoy Tony. I read a piece in The Atlantic. sorry.
Annoy Tony? Does Tony get annoyed by The Atlantic?
No, because I like drop in a verbal link. I don't have it at the ready.
You can see him furiously ducking this, you know. So
it was a story to the effect. It was someone it was actually on, I think, the topic of the day, the really important one about the federal forces invading U.S. cities. Mm-hmm. But it basically indicated that, like, the story said, if you just get rid of the Trump administration, everything will be fine. Like, the only reason this is happening is because Americans mm-hmm. elected a president with authoritarian instincts. And I just thought, okay, we would need to hurry up and do our podcast about how all of this started in the 80s, even though probably all of this started in the 1880s or the 1780s mm-hmm. or the 1680s. Mm-hmm. At a minimum, mm-hmm. the place that mm-hmm. we're at now financially, we know, we talked about, started in the 80s. The place that we're at politically started in the 90s. Newt Gingrich, people, look it up. Like, a deliberate attempt to inject extreme partisanship into our politics has led us to where we are today. And so then that insight about how this is how Congress has been doing this Cliffs is negotiating leverage thing for however many years now, is exactly part of that. It is like a profoundly broken political system that's just hitting the fan right now.
Yep. Yep.
And it's going to be right. Like, regardless of whatever the election ends up being and how long that fallout lasts, and it could be a long time. This is a long arc, historically speaking, that we are on now, a long road.
Yeah. Which is really hard because the arc right now is just interminable.
It is.
Which gets me back to where we started, which is, it's just really hard. Yeah. All right. Drew, is Drew in charge? Who's down there? Somebody,
help.
Thank you.
Really?
Thank you.
Help
me. All right. I will do a very quick update on mine from yesterday, which was, of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez taking Representative Ted Yoho to school on his non-apology and all of those things. Here is the deal from therap.com about the C-SPAN Twitter account. Excuse me. The clip of her speech posted by the official C-SPAN Twitter account currently has more than 12 million views, more than the previous record for a House member, which is 1.6 million, also set by Ocasio-Cortez in January. I think this is interesting for two reasons. Number one, really good to see this message getting out. And number two, I think that means it has traction. And if she can get traction on this issue that literally every woman, I'm sure, in a professional setting or personal setting has dealt with, then more power to her. You know?
Yeah. Yep. No, that was amazing. It's 10 minutes long. You know, it's on. You want to talk about people's attention span. Turns out the attention span is long enough for this.
Right. Long
and
enough.
It really.
How much attention span? Long enough.
Long enough. It did. It hit. It really hit. And I think the conversation about women right now is so interesting. I saw one article referred to it as rage moms. Like, it was just like.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, moms, right? The Portland moms.
Yeah.
The Portland moms out there in hard hats and goggles. And then the dads with the leaf blowers. Come on, man. For the tear gas, blowing the tear gas back at the cops. Come on.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And in a week when the president tweeted at housewives.
Oh, don't even. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I already put that link in the Slack for Tony. I got that one. mine is, I watched baseball last night on TV.
Oh.
And it was surprisingly emotional. Like, it really was surprisingly wonderful. My dad, grew up in New York, and even though he's been in Montana for a bajillion years, he's still a Giants fan, even though they are in San Francisco. Whatever, it's a long story.
Wow, he goes way back.
But he texted me.
Does.
Yeah, he is. I don't know, either an extremely loyal fan or a creature of habit. I'm not really sure.
Well,
it broke his heart when I moved to Oakland and became an A's fan. But he texted me last night and he was like, I am in tears right now. The Giants and the Dodgers are on TV, and I turned it on. Oh, I was like, great. This is actually amazing. And it was. But even better is this story about how Tom Hanks, who I don't know if you know, but Tom Hanks is from the Bay Area, and he went to Skyline High School in Oakland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he's a big time A's fan. He's a long time A's fan. And so he is going to, the A's announced on Friday that Tom Hanks is going to hawk. He was a ballpark concession sales kid in the A's stadium back in the day. And he is going to sell hot dogs, popcorn, and soda over the loudspeakers at A's games as part of like the sound that they pump in. Like he's going to be all hot dog here. Who wants a hot dog? Peanuts, bag of peanuts. Do bag of peanuts. Like that kind of thing. Tom Hanks. I love it.
Tom Hanks.
I love this weird. I mean, one great thing about pandemic and quarantine is like the people who aren't that busy are doing incredibly delightful, creative things. And Tom Hanks is like, I don't know. It's not like I'm working on a movie.
He's got time to kill.
I'm going to sell pretend hot dogs. He will be selling concessions, as the story puts it on MLB.com, to no one.
Hot dogs. Get your hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Get your hot dogs. I want to practice my... I know. It's a great story. Made me so happy.
There's a story to do there. Awesome. Awesome. Yep.
So good. Baseball. Aw. Okay, we're done. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for, you know, the occasional correction in the chat. We appreciate it. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at marketplace.org/newsletters. Don't forget to take care of yourself and try to be nice to someone this weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Our video producer is Penn Heathcote. Ethan Peretz is the video intern. Erica Phillips writes, produces smart speaker skills, newsletters, all of that good stuff. There's a fly.
She does it all. And in those cool white cat eye glasses.
She's got those. Yeah, she's got those.
So styly. Today's program was engineered by the also incredibly stylish Drew Jostad. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager, by God, is Deborah Clark.
So I had a guy DM me today on Twitter. He said, hey, Kai, I sent in a voice memo to Make Me Smart, wanting to know why you're using Old English in the credits for the Daily Show. And I'm like,
I'm sorry,
to find out.
It's called Oldie Englishy.
Oldie Englishy, that's right. That's right. Oh, man.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.